Hallelujah. And this morning, I'm going to do my best to follow the Lord. We're going to get right into something. Praise God. I feel a lot more confident that I believe I have a direction this morning, and I think God's going to let me know a little bit ahead of time what we're doing. So I'm excited about that. But last week, the Holy Spirit had me talk a little bit. I'm just going to say it that way because I wouldn't call it really teaching necessarily. But we talked a bit about prophecy, the prophetic ministry, the anointing that's upon that. And I believe it goes right along with, walking in the Spirit, the life of the Spirit, life in the Spirit. And so I want to continue in that vein. And I'm going to start out this morning by telling you this. I love you dearly. And yeah. All the married couples are going, uh-oh, I know what that means. No. No, and so everything that I'm saying this morning comes from that place of love. But I'll just tell you, as I was praying this week, there was an anger stirring within me, and I'm not angry at anyone here, so don't get the wrong idea. But there is something stirring in my spirit, and I think I'm going to start talking about that, and then we'll see how the Lord uses that in the message today. But I'm angry that the devil has been allowed to steal from the church, from our family, from people that I love and that I know dearly. And I'm tired of the enemy having a voice so loud in the church that he's been able to deceive and take people down a road that was never intended for us. We often hear people talking about what happened to the book of Acts. And where are the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the things that we saw happening in the book of Acts? And the truth is, that was the beginning of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And it wasn't meant to be something to get back to. It was meant to be the beginning of entering into a new era where miracles flow like water, where the Spirit of God is loosed and free to move upon the earth. It was meant to be the beginning of a new age. Peter said, this is that. So, and if that was that, then this is that, right? I mean, it didn't stop at any time. And yet somehow, and I'm not blaming anyone in particular, but somehow we as a church, a universal church, the body of Christ, somehow we have allowed the enemy to come in and rob from us and deceive us and take us down a path that is so ridiculous and so far from the things that the Word of God teaches us, and we've called it God. I've listened to men stand in a pulpit and say the gifts that we read about in the Bible died off with the apostles. Who are we to begin to dictate what God is doing in the earth? Who are we to begin to say when He started and when He stopped something? First of all, when did the apostles die? These apostles may have died, but that doesn't mean the anointing of the apostle is gone from the earth. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that God gave some apostles and then He took them away. He doesn't say that. There wasn't a stop to the move and the gifts and the anointings of God. It was never meant for them to be ended and for them to be taken away. So who took them away? And where did they go? And the truth is, they haven't been taken away. They didn't stop. But somehow, none of us that are here today, I can't put responsibility on us for the way it happened because I don't even understand myself how it happened. But somehow the enemy was able to take the church into the dark ages. Somehow he was able to remove the light and the truth from us. And for thousands of years, or at least hundreds of years, we missed out on the things that God had for the church for the most part. Some people got a little bit. And then finally, light began to shine again. And people began to come to realize that there is a grace by which we're saved. Began to realize that God still has a plan for the church. And I know that we here today are not of those that have been deceived so much. We're not of those that believe. We're of those who are seeking the truth and wanting to walk in the fullness of the light. And so I was arguing a little bit with the Lord about this. I'm like, well, God, we're not the ones that need to hear the message. And he said, well, those that need to hear it won't hear it. And he said, here's the thing. If the church is going to wake up, it's going to take those who are willing to walk in the light to walk in the light to show them that there is a light to walk in. And so just like Mark got up here and said, the 4-minute mile was never broken. It was an impossibility. No one had ever broken that barrier. You could say there was a bondage there or a restriction, and no one had ever gone through that. But once someone did, it began to pave a way for the next one and the next one and the next one. And the same thing is happening in the body of Christ. God is wanting us to rise up and to shine a light so bright that those who are sleeping will wake up and realize that they can have the same thing in their life as well. If we want to see miracles flowing in the church, it's not going to do me a lot of good to preach that at a church that doesn't believe in miracles. But when we start operating in those miracles and they see it for themselves and they realize that this is God, it wakes them up to see that this is for them also. And I believe that that's what this revival is about. It's about awakening of the church, waking up the people to see that the apostles haven't died off, the gifts haven't died off, the anointing isn't gone from the earth. I've heard men, devout men of God, I suppose, men who have a sincere heart, and I've heard them preach that there was a time and a season for these things, and it was to begin the church and to, you know, awaken the people, almost as if the people then were too dumb. They didn't have a Bible to read. They didn't have things that they needed. And so now we're much more sophisticated, and we have a Bible, and we understand who God is. And so we don't need all this flashy, showy stuff. And it's really just an excuse and a lie from the enemy to hold the church in bondage. To the point that I believe the persecution that we will see will come first from the church. It'll come from those that have already written that off and said, that's not of God. But I also believe that there are some that are truly deceived and don't understand. And when they see it, they will wake up. And they'll be able to walk in the light and in the truth that God has given us. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We could read this whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that. We'll start in verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right, so he said we were sometimes darkness. So there was a time when you didn't know Christ. There was a time when you didn't walk in the light that has been given you. You've heard my testimony. I was born again as a young man, not even a young man, as a little boy, about 4 years old. But yet, there were still times when I walked in darkness. Even yet, even though I had known better, even though I had seen the light, there was a deception upon me. The Bible says the God of this world blinds the eyes of the people. And there are blinders that are put upon us at different times, or if we allow them to be. And without Christ, we're in darkness. And yet he says, now are you light? And we're to walk as light. And I know that if you read above that, he talks about some of the sins and the things that are found in the world. And I know that's what he's talking about when he says that we shouldn't even be talking about the things that they do, right? But yet, I want to put that in perspective today of what's happening in the church where the Spirit is being ignored and many are walking in the flesh and not really allowing the light of the Word of God, the light of the Spirit of God to shine bright in their lives. And it's up to us not to be concerned and talk about what they're doing or not doing, but to allow that light to shine so brightly that it affects those around us that maybe haven't seen the light, that maybe even though they're born again are still walking in darkness, are still walking in ignorance where they don't understand the things that God has for them. He says very abruptly, very clearly, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And see, we should have nothing dead in our life. Okay? We should be free from dead works. We should be free from the works of the flesh. We should be free from those things that we walked in darkness, so that the light that we walk in is not contaminated or dimmed or affected, and we're able to be the light that not only shines for ourselves, but wakes up those who are asleep. Because how will they hear unless there's a preacher, right? And I know that's for the lost, but it's also for those who are walking in deception or in darkness that don't understand yet the truth that Christ has for them. The walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, the ability to be free from sin, the ability to be free from sickness and disease, the ability to walk in a place where we understand and know the will of God. And preaching is more than talking to people, more than standing behind a pulpit. But I believe that when we live our life in a way, and we are light, we are salt to the earth, when we live that way, we're preaching to those around us and demonstrating the Spirit of God. And I believe that's what we're called to do, is to walk as demonstrators of God's Spirit. We demonstrate who He is in the earth, because He has no one else but us. We are living epistles. There's nothing more that Christ has than our hands, our feet, our lives in the earth. We're the light bulb that He turned on, and we're supposed to be shining bright for others to see. He said, who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel? And so I want to encourage you today that there is a light inside of you. And I believe that as we're on this path to revival, one of the things that God is doing along the way is He is bringing our understanding to the truth that light is already in us. I've said it before this way, we are endeavoring to become who we already are. We're endeavoring to become the person that God has created us to be. And I believe that in this season, even now, that we're stepping into a place where there's a freedom and an understanding of what we have and who we are in Christ Jesus at a different level than what we've had before. And in this level, if we can grab a hold of the truth of who we are as a spirit and walk in the spirit, those things that have frustrated us that we were not able to accomplish, they become settled because we realize that they're already done. We realize that the light has already come and the light is already shining and we can already see the truth that God has already set us free. He's already provided sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. He's already given everything that is necessary for us. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord is wanting me to go to the Old Testament for a moment. Let's go to Ezekiel. I wasn't sure about this one, but I believe this is right. Where is Ezekiel? It's somewhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ezekiel, we'll go to 37. I want to look at this in a little different perspective maybe than you may have seen it before. I don't know. It might be just exactly how you've seen it, but Ezekiel 37. And we're going to read quite a bit of this, so let's get started in the first verse. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, and in the Old Testament he had not yet received the promise of Jesus Christ, so had not yet been born again. The Holy Spirit was not within the men, but he came upon them. And here, the Spirit, he was in the Spirit, and the Spirit showed him this valley. So we're not talking about a physical, not necessarily a physical thing. This was something that was happening in the Spirit. "In the midst of the valley that was full of dry bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, isn't that a question that God would ask? You know, you're seeing something absolutely impossible. That he, not only were these dead bones, they were very dry. There was no life whatsoever in them. And he says, "Can they live?" And Ezekiel, in great wisdom, answered and said, "O Lord God, thou knowest." And again he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I hear the Lord saying today, you have walked in the truth and you've put to death those things that I've asked you to put to death. Many of you have come to a place where things have died and where they are very dry, where the things of the flesh have been put to death, where the things that you once had given life to, the things that you had desired and wanted, the selfish ambitions have been put down and they have died and they are dry. And thus says the Lord unto you today, I will breathe upon you. I will bring my life to you. And those places, those desires, and those things that you had once hoped for, and you allowed to die because you set them aside to seek me, and you've allowed them to be put into a place of dryness, I will bring life to them and breathe upon them, and you shall walk in the promises and in the abilities and in the hopes and the things that you had known that I'd called you to, but you were willing to set aside. I am bringing them to life in you, says the Lord, and I will breathe upon this body, and there shall be a shaking, there shall be a change that will come, and up from within you there will rise up an army that will be seen by the world, and they will know that you are of the Lord. And they'll know that the Lord your God has done this in your midst. For I will come and I will display to this generation my power. power and my glory. And I will use those who have been willing to die and put to death those things, the desires, the hopes, the dreams, the ambitions that you had. And you will see that as you trust in me, I will say what will happen, and it shall come to pass. For there have been many in my church who have had the audacity to stand and say what they will do and what will happen. But I say unto you this morning, I am coming to a church that has died to the things of man. I am coming to a church that has been willing to set aside all those ambitions that you had hoped to bring in other people and other things. And you will see that for those who have been willing to die, those who have been become dry, I will bring life. And the life that I have within them will become a reality. I provided that life 2,000 years ago. And I have been looking upon the earth for those whom I can flow through in the way that I've always desired to. And it will be those who have been willing to die, to become as dry bones, to become as useless to the things of the world as death is. And you'll see that through those, I will bring my glory. I will bring a power, a move, a demonstration, the likes of which the earth has not yet seen. And I am pleased to say that you are among those who've been willing to die. You've taken the instruction well. You've allowed me to move in ways that many have brushed aside and said no. But those of you who have listened and have obeyed and have been discouraged and wondered, was it worth it? I say unto you this day, not only was it worth it, but the reward is far greater than anything you could have ever imagined or hoped for. And the things that you'll see, not only in the life to come, but in this life, will be greater than the price you had paid for anything that you've ever bought in your life. So continue. Continue to pay the price. You'll see that what is dying, there's much that is already dead, but there's some that is dying. And what is dying, what is becoming dry, and what is the things which some have thought were important, you'll see that those were not the answers anyway. And they weren't the things that were bringing the life that you want to walk in anyway. So as you allow them to die and release them unto me, and you allow them to become dry and desolate and useless, you'll see that the things that are useful will replace that which you had given up, and it will be far greater than anything that you'd ever had. Be far greater than what you had hoped to accomplish and thought you would do. For there are some who would say, I thought many years ago I would be beyond the place that I'm at today. But I say unto you, because you're willing to once again lay it down, because you are willing to once again say, no, I'm not going to do it in my own strength, because you are willing to once again, when fleshly ambitions rose up, you put them to death, because you were willing to do those things, you'll see that I will bring my ability, my strength, my power, my anointing, and my grace to bring you to the place that I have called you to be. Many have endeavored to step into a place that they believe they were called to walk in, and I as a good father am pleased to see my children wanting more. But even in this, you don't fully understand the place that I've called you to. You don't fully understand the things that I want you to walk in. So be willing to lay that down. Be willing to say, I don't understand the fullness of it. And let me bring a greater understanding and revelation to who you are. And allow me to rise you up beyond the place that you could walk in. Because the things that I'm calling you to, you would never be able to accomplish in your own strength. You would never be able to do without the breath of God that I am breathing upon those who are willing to die. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. I thought we were going to read a lot. But glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I hear him saying that he wants to come more often in what right now we might call unusual ways, but he said he wants the unusual to become usual. He wants the occasional to become regular. That he can come by his Spirit and minister and move the way he wants to move. And I don't think we've done anything necessarily wrong to keep that from happening, but I'm just saying in my spirit, I believe that we're going to see more and more of it. And I think what happens sometimes is we want to understand, we want to know why we haven't had certain things, and I want to caution you that there is a deception and there's a distraction that the enemy is bringing to cause us to wonder what we've done wrong or where we've missed it or why we aren't here, why we aren't there, when the only thing he wants us to do is to concentrate on him and what he's doing now. Because he isn't surprised. He's not concerned. He's not wringing his hands. He's not wondering when it's going to happen. But he has it under control. And if we will walk in the Spirit, we'll come to a place of peace where we know that God is doing this. And so it no longer is a concern as to when or how or where, but we know that it's happening and we're part of it. And it's now and it's here. And we don't have to have all of the understanding in the natural. We need to walk in the Spirit. And one of the things that Paul said, he says, one thing that I have accomplished, and that's forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on towards that which he's called us to. And that's the important thing in our life, is that we're willing, as the Lord spoke to us this morning, to die. Part of dying is letting go of all of our inabilities and all of our need to know why it didn't happen. And if we'll die to that, I believe if it's something that's really in your heart, he'll show you. But if it's just to accuse him, like Dave talked about that, he said, you know, as long as you're willing to ask, you ask God, why did this person die? He says, well, as long as you're willing to believe that I could have helped them, but I didn't, well, you're not going to receive the answer. You're walking in a religious mindset, because it wasn't God's idea to hold back. It's not his idea to keep us from anything. I don't need to know why it didn't happen. I'm not going to bother God about that, because that's not important to me. What's important to me is to see it happen. So walk in it. See the fullness of it. And it's not a hope so, but it's a promise. God is bringing this revival. He's bringing all of the promises, all of the things are I believe, a culmination of things in an outpouring that's very possibly just a suddenly happening. And I want to share a couple of things from my heart this morning, because, you know, I've done my best to be transparent, and people love transparency, but one of the reasons we like transparency is because we want to know that somebody else failed so that we can relate to that. And I'm not being mean, I'm just being honest. That's oftentimes the reason we like transparency. But I'm going to share with you a little bit of success or things that God has done in my life that I believe could help you. And I don't really like sharing these things, because to me it's very private, it's very personal, but I believe it's important. Because here at the prayer center, we have people who were able to watch and see, and they've demonstrated the life of Jesus Christ in them to us, if that makes sense. We've had Pastor Dave, and we've had his testimony, and we've heard how he came into the ministry and how the Lord led him in that way. We have Gary and his testimony. And I think sometimes I almost don't like people sharing those things, because for some reason, as human beings, we start thinking that we should do what they did. And that's never been the message. That's never been what was said. I heard someone tell me one time, he was going through some struggles and I was trying to figure out what was going on. And he finally said, well, I can't tell you, because Gary said not to ever tell another human being a need that I have. I said, that's not what he said. He said, you do what God tells you to do. You know, and so what I'd say is we have to be careful sometimes. And I just want to preface what I'm saying with that. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm sharing a testimony of what I have done and how God has ministered to me and why I believe we're stepping into something new. Every time in my life that God is bringing me to another place, he tends to come and visit me in some way. And for me, kind of like the way I preach, I guess, like last week, I delivered this message on prophecy. It wasn't really a message that I had prepared or a teaching, but it was kind of an overview and attention on prophecy. The Lord oftentimes, when he speaks to me, he'll kind of draw my attention to something, and then it takes time for me to understand really what he's doing and what he's saying in that. And so, one of the times that things were changing very drastically in my life was when the Lord had called me to be a pastor in Guthrie, Oklahoma. I didn't want to be a pastor. Many years ago, someone had asked me if I felt called to the ministry. All I knew is God called me to preach, and I said, all I know is I'm not going to be a pastor. I don't know exactly what he's called me to, but it's not to be a pastor. And so when this group had called me, they told me they had this little church. They were looking for a pastor. I said, I'm not a pastor. I'm not looking for a church. But I said, I'll come and preach for you. And I did. And it took the Lord some doing to get my attention that he wanted me to be the pastor there. And one of the things that happened is I was at home and I told my wife, I said, you just have to excuse me. I've got to go and pray. And I just went and laid down on my bed. And the presence of the Lord came into my room. And there was a heaviness where I'm sure I could have gotten up, but I felt as though I couldn't move. I felt as though I couldn't get up. And probably for about 45 minutes to an hour, the Lord just sat upon me. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. He just sat there. And then he said to me, he said, the anointing of the apostle is on your life. And in order for you to fulfill this, this is the next step, which was to be a pastor in Guthrie. I don't really care about the office or the title or the anointing or any of those things. I'm just telling you a testimony of what the Lord had said to me. And when I say I don't care, I mean I'm not looking for recognition of those things. I do care. I want to do what God's called me to do. So that happened. There was a change in my life, a drastic change. I had to do things that I'd never done before. And then other times when things are happening, the Holy Spirit will visit me. And sometimes it's just for me. Sometimes I believe it's for more than me. Sometimes it's for the body of Christ or maybe the place that I'm at. Like when I was in Guthrie, there's times when the Lord would be speaking to me about something and he was talking to the church as well. I believe there's times when God's speaking to me and he's speaking to the prayer center as well. And so I'm sharing all these things to say that recently, and I said this briefly, this doesn't happen very often. Pastor Dave would say the Lord never really let him on a fast. He just started fasting because he was more hungry for spiritual things than for natural things. But the Lord led me on a fast. I fasted a certain number of days. And when I came off of that fast, the Lord said to me, he said, you're stepping into the next level of walking in the Spirit. I didn't understand fully all of that because he gave a few other definitions there, and I have recorded it, and I'm doing my best to walk in it. But then, as I've been ministering here, I sense that same anointing, that same presence, where the Lord is saying, we're stepping into something new. Okay, and I believe it's more than something in the future. It's something that we're walking in right now. We've waded into the water. Maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's ankle deep, maybe it's, you know, knee high. I don't know, but I know he wants to take us to a place where it's over our head and we can't stand up and we're just flowing with the river. And it's not just for those who stand behind the pulpit, but it's for every single one of us that's in this body. And he wants to move in a way, in a fashion, that it's a demonstration to the world of what the church looks like. Not only those that don't know Christ, but those that do. A demonstration of how he works in the church, in a body that's in tune with him and that can hear and operate the way he wants them to operate. He's putting a responsibility upon us as his body to function in the membership, I suppose, that he's called you to be in, whatever that might be. He's putting a responsibility on you to be the member, the body that he's called you to be, to stand in the place that he's called you to. We don't get to sit and spectate any longer, but he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. It may not mean that everyone gets to hear you or that you get to have a place in a service or whatever. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means that whatever that is, it's just as important as the person who's standing up here preaching and ministering the Word of God. And I know we've heard all these things before, but I want to encourage you and remind you and prophesy to you that we're stepping into this. It's not just knowledge any longer. It's not just information. It's not just a good idea, but it's something that God is doing, and we are required to be a part of it if we're going to see the fullness of what he has manifested here. required is a kind of a strong word. It's more like you get to take advantage of it. You get to be a part of it. It's like some people will say that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have to speak with tongues. I said, no, but you get to. You don't have to do anything, but you get to. He makes it available to you. Somebody said, well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and I never spoke with tongues. I said, yeah, but you can. I'm not going to argue with you. I just let you know you can. So that's why I'm telling you today. If you haven't been a part, you can. If you haven't found your place, you can, and you will. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. And people here are going to help you. Your brothers and sisters will help you. If you don't know your part and you're having difficulty, grab somebody. We'll pray with you. We're here for one another. It's time for us to stand as a body. It's time for us to be willing to take our sister's hand, our brother's hand, and say, listen, we're going to find the place that you're at in this body because you're here for a reason. Amen. Over the last 2 months, I suppose, in my life, there have been more things come to pass than have in the last 20 years. And I'm not saying that by faith. I mean that has happened. At least six life-changing events, or I guess you could call them events. Some have happened and some are in the process of happening that we have been believing God for 20 years. That's the truth. I'll tell you one just to brag on God a little bit. In 2007, we left Tulsa to go to pastor a church in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And at that time, I wanted to sell my house, put my house up for sale. The Lord spoke to me and he said, you will not sell this house. He didn't say, I don't want you to sell the house. He didn't say, don't try to sell the house. He just simply said, you won't sell this house. And I said, okay. And he said, I'm going to sell this house. I said, okay. But the house didn't sell in 2007 or 8 or 9 or 10. And we rented it out and we tried to sell it again. And we got all the way through everything to the closing in a very weird. People who've been in the mortgage business for 20 some years have said they'd never heard of it before. But it didn't sell. Last Wednesday, we closed on our house. Now, the interesting thing that happened there is we weren't going to sell it even this time. We weren't trying to sell our house. We weren't interested in selling our house. And the Lord reminded me, he said, I told you, you're not going to sell your house. I'm going to sell your house. And we never met in person with a mortgage person. We didn't do anything. There's a little bit of stress, I suppose, because we were actually selling to family members, but there was nothing as far as that needed to be done that was difficult. There was nothing, there were no obstacles, there was very few obstacles in the way, and it just happened. Now, I did have to do some work, and I had to change a couple of boards on the house and do some painting and this and that, and I had a bad attitude, and I was kind of complaining to the Lord. I thought you were selling this house. And he said to me, do you think you have to work less for me than you would for yourself? And I just kept working. I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. See, we have an idea sometimes, and I'm trying to wrap this up, but we have this idea that if God is doing it, it's just going to be roses, right? God's doing it. We don't have any responsibility. The Lord's going to do this. But see, why would we think that we'd work harder to accomplish something in our own strength than we would that God is accomplishing? It's not that it's going to be more difficult for us. It ought to be easier for us, and it flows more freely, and there's more freedom in it. But it doesn't mean there's less work. If you're going to serve the Lord, it means serving Him. Paul called himself a bond slave. Do you not think that there was work involved in his ministry? There are many things that were not pleasant that he had to endure and go through. And the truth is, while revival is wonderful and awesome, and we look for the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the glory of it, It's also W-O-R-K. You think you're going to be able to close the doors when there's thousands of people showing up to be healed and ministered to? Do you think that just Gary and Alan are going to be the ones ministering? I mean, it's going to take all of us to work in the place that God has called us to work in. And you might be called upon to do things you've never done before. But the Holy Spirit has prepared you. And He is preparing you. And there's some today who He's really wanting to say some things this morning. And here today who have wondered, when will I see the gifts that are in me? When will I see them manifested and used? When will I see God do something through my hands, through my voice, through my life? And the Lord would say to you, my daughter, I see you. And you have been a light to many around you. You have been used of me in ways that you don't even comprehend. And there are days coming where I will flow through you. But you must realize that you are already my daughter. You are already my anointed one. And I am already using you. And I'm not looking for you to become better. But I'm looking for you to be yielded unto me. To lay down your inabilities and insecurities, to grab a hold of that which I have placed within you, and you will see that I'm already using you to be a light where you are and in what you do. Do not look for the change on the outside, in the circumstances or in the places that you are. Don't look for a change in a job or in a duties that need to be performed, but recognize the change that I have already begun inside of you. Recognize the changes that I have brought you through and see that you are not the same as you were before. For I have changed you and brought you to a place where others see who you are, and now I'm asking you, look within and see who I've created you to be. And stand in the light and be who you are, where you are. And you'll see that I'll take you where you want to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, that may be specifically for certain individuals, but I believe you can receive that. The body can receive that, but it is for an individual. Someone here. Hallelujah, Jesus. He doesn't want to call you out. He doesn't want to recognize you or embarrass you in any way. He just wants you to know that He knows you. And He sees the struggle. And He says, don't be embarrassed, nor think that you've come this far and you should be further. But know that you are who He has called you to be. And walk from this day forward with me, says the Lord. No longer concerned about what man might think or what you can accomplish, but realize that I've already accomplished a great thing within you. And I am doing a work to bring you to the place that I want you to be. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, la maranga state di andro quando regala. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, I just want to end with a prayer this morning. I want to pray for all of us as a body. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for your anointing today. Thank you for your presence here. And Lord, I just pray, Father, for that grace to be upon each one of us as we, as a body, step into this next place with you, Father. I'm asking, and Lord, to the best that I'm able to, I'm receiving that grace, Lord, to walk where you have called us to walk. And Lord, may each one of us have the grace and the courage to stand in our position in the body and to function as the member that you've called us to function as, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the grace to bring us into this next level, to bring us through it and on into revival, Lord. We thank you for it. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for your word today. May it bring strength. May it bring encouragement. May it bring all that we can receive from it so that we can walk in the light that you called us to walk in, Lord. So for what you've done and what you're doing even now and what you're going to do, Lord, we give you all glory, all honor, and all praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, with that, you're dismissed. And we'll see you at 10 o'clock.